Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Here we go. Here we go. Let's do a podcast with Dale and Joe.
This is the IGN UK podcast. My name is Gav Murphy. We're all full of beans today.
You are?
I was going to say, am I?
I am a bit. Yeah. Got a big old tea.
It's a big old thermos of beans.
Oh my God, that would be fucking brilliant.
I would love that. You could slurp that down really easy.
Imagine if like you're just carrying a big thermos, like, ooh, is he enjoying a nice cup of tea and or coffee? And I'd be like, no, it's full of beans.
Mate, this is just sweet corn.
A cup of beans, stirring it with a sausage as well, like a partridge.
Oh. I fucking love some beans. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely have beans on toast this weekend.
What do you like? Are you a Heinz boy, or do you like venturing out to other types of beans?
I like Heinz, but I tell you what, there's a fucking good bean, Dale. Branston beans.
I was gonna say that.
Mm. Branston beans are fucking amazing.
I like Branston beans.
The sauce inside them is so thick that honestly, you will lose your mind.
I always like beans a bit overcooked, so maybe I just want Branston beans.
I've seen, I think it's Branston, they do ones with beans and bits of chorizo in them as well.
What?
Amazing.
What?
Yeah. What?
Get that on some toast, mate. There you go, you're living.
I went to my personal trainer yesterday and she said, you're not eating enough, which is brilliant to hear.
I'd love to hear that.
As a fat lad trying to lose weight, to hear an actual professional expert in fat say you're not eating enough is brilliant.
Is that what personal trainers are? Experts in
expert,
fat?
Experts in fat. Mine's good. She knows all the fats. But she said, you should try a little snack of just like brown bread with some beans. Just like beans. I was like, beans on toast. I know what beans on toast is. And she was like, yeah, but don't.
No,
she's a vegan. So she's saying, yeah, you can use this like vegan spread, which she said, and it fucking tastes amazing. But then she was like, yeah, and like, if you're still not getting your calories, put a little bit of this vegan spread inside the beans as you're stirring them. I was like, can I put cheese in it? She was like, no. Like, chill out.
What about Tommy sauce? How do we go there?
Tommy sauce, I think, is fine. I think it's quite a lot of sugar in that, but there we are. What's your favourite non-fattening snack?
Oh, you've ruined our inbox.
IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. Well, do you know what? Like, when I first started trying to lose weight, Tamor Hussein at GameSpot, he was a big lad when we first met, and that's all he ate for about 6 months was beans on toast.
Oh my God.
And he lost loads of weight.
Is that how he lost weight?
Yeah.
I reckon I could actually do that diet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The beans on toast diet. Sounds good. Do we have to have brown bread, though?
Why? Do you like white bread?
Not partial to brown bread.
Oh, more about brown. Hey,
brown bread is amazing.
I mean, granary's obviously the king, but come on. You just
traditional white boy.
You are a white boy.
Yeah, we've heard some of your views, mate. It's definitely right.
You're fucking
a bit too traditional, if you ask me, driver.
My bread preference does not transfer over.
You honky-ass bread.
Speaking of honky-ass bread.
Here we go.
That's the name of the podcast right there.
Joe's been to Washington?
West Virginia.
Oh my God.
I did stop in Washington, so that's correct.
Sweet. Yeah, good. Tell us all about that trip.
It was absurd. We went to a hotel called the Greenbrier, which is most famous for
deaths.
Well, honestly, is full on slaves have died here type place.
Yeah.
Like,
God.
I mean, they don't talk about it. I looked up ghosts. There were no ghosts. Yeah. And I think they've been scrubbed from memory.
If there's anybody in this podcast who's an expert in slaves dying, it's definitely Joseph Valerian Skrevels.
The Latvian peasant name.
The Latvian king.
So we turned up, me and Cardi, to this absurd hotel, which after the probable death of slaves is most famous for being a hotel that was for 30 or 40 years the secret hiding place of the bunker that the president would be flown to in the event of a nuclear attack on Washington.
Wait, what?
So it has a secret bunker underneath it that has since been exposed by the press.
Yeah.
But for 30 years, if there was going to be a nuclear attack on Washington, they That's flew the president and That's Congress cool. to the Greenbrier.
I've heard of that place. That's
like,
amazing. Yeah.
Like in Terminator 3, the one that's in the side of the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically, well, and it is just dug into a hill, and they covered it up by building a new wing of the hotel. But they were actually building this secret bunker, which we all went in.
That's cool.
And it was quite cool.
What was the bunker like? It's dark.
It's very boring.
Not dark as in like the actual light. But when you walk in, you're like, something's bad's happened.
Well, it feels like, because it was never used. Okay. Like, so they kept it up, they upkept it so it was constantly full of all the newest medical equipment and food and stuff.
Yeah.
The newest food, Branston beans. And when they were invented, get them in. Yeah. And then it was just never used.
That'd wind you up if that was your job.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially wishing that a nuclear holocaust would happen, so the president would come. Otherwise, just kind of just kicking your heels a
There's
bit,
someone who had to check the radio equipment in there every day for 30 years.
You get most job satisfaction out of that?
I don't know. They must have been delighted when the Washington... I think it was the Washington Post, like, exposed it. Yeah. They found out about it and were just like, it's a bunker!
Maybe he was the leak.
Yeah.
Does that mean loads of people lost their jobs, though?
I think they were all employed by the Greenbrier, so they probably...
Right.
The Greenbrier then sacked them off. I don't know. But,
yeah.
But the point of this is the Fallout 76 is based in West Virginia, and the Greenbrier is in the game as the White Springs Resort, which is based on the real-life place White Sulphur Springs.
Cool.
And it's quite faithfully recreated. It's quite amazing.
So is there a vault underneath it?
Yes. Well, there is a bunker underneath it, which no one would say, but we think is the place where you launch nukes from in the game.
Right.
Because it's impossible to get into. So they did this amazing thing where we essentially had a party in the bunker. It was mad. So we went in, did our party, and then they took us out a different exit.
Yeah.
But it was really weird because we had to be driven to the front of the bunker, and we went through like the giant blast door and stuff.
Yeah.
And they closed it behind us. It was absolutely terrifying.
That is terrifying.
It was horrible. and then when we left, they took us out this other door, and we're just in the hotel, like just a normal hotel door leads into the secret nuclear bunker.
Oh my God, that's weird.
And in the game,
to be fair, I've seen video footage of this hotel. It is not a normal hotel. It's fucking insane.
Into the hotel. And I went to that spot in the game, and there's no door, but there's just a handprint scanner. And so you're like, there's a fucking secret door here. Yeah,
that's cool.
Really cool.
That is weird.
The weirdest part was I got to the room we were playing the game in, in the game. So like walked up to the door and then it was locked and you needed a key that you couldn't get there. And I was like, motherfucker, I wanted to come to where I'm sitting right now.
Imagine if they'd put in a version of you sitting there playing the game.
Jacking it.
Just looking at me, jacking it. But then, I went to the table I had breakfast at that morning in the game. It was really strange.
Sounds really weird about that.
But otherwise, Fallout 76. Average.
Yeah, I saw we've done quite a lot of stuff on it. Like, Dale, you did a comparison of...
Yeah, so I did the two hotels, the Greenbrier and the White Springs.
The White Springs,
comparison, what Cardi shot out there.
Yeah.
And I think, it gives you a good look at the hotel, but also what it looks like in the game. It's quite cool.
Mm. But we also done a big old fat preview on it.
It was a fat old preview.
So, yeah, because, like, you're not, like, a big Fallout person.
I've always played... I never played the first two, which makes me a heathen by some reports. Yeah, fine, but I really liked 3. I really like New Vegas.
Yeah.
4 I wasn't a huge fan of.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed the start and then something didn't hook me.
Yeah.
And this is like, this started as 4's multiplayer mode.
Yeah.
And then they went, we're gonna make this into a game.
Yeah.
So it feels just like 4.
Yeah.
And that's not always a good thing. Like, I say it in the preview, but everything that I like about Fallout 76 is the stuff where it doesn't feel like the old Fallout games.
Right.
Like weird, like unique monsters that you and your crew can come and meet, or like building a base that everyone can come and visit. And like lots of all the multiplayer-y things really work for me. But the actual Fallout stuff just doesn't make sense. Like,
The menu stuff is
absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Like having to use the Pip-Boy and go through like 100 things to be like, this is some food that I need to eat.
Before I die,
food and drink systems in games can fuck off.
Why does that even need to be in there? Because it hasn't been in previous Fallouts.
No. Well, so there are survival modes in old Fallouts, but they're always optional challenges. Yeah. And in this game, it's like, you know that thing that only really hardcore players like doing? Let's make that the game that you have.
That didn't need to be in. When you've got this new hook and this new angle to it, you didn't need to add that extra layer, especially when the clunky menu system.
And the world's like 4 times as big. So you're like, out in the middle of absolutely nowhere, and then it's like, oh, you're hungry, and you're like, I haven't got any food, do I have to go and find like a crafting station to make something? You're just like, oh, Jesus Christ. So that's pretty dull. But the moments where you are just playing with friends, like all games are better when you're playing some people. And it was like, I took down a Mothman with three other people. It was fucking wicked. Like, that feels amazing. We brought down, there's another like real life monster called the Grafton Monster that we found outside the Greenbrier in the game.
That's fucking nuts.
It's really cool. And like, we had a big fight with it, and Cardi finished it off with a machete. And we were just like, this is brilliant. Like, it's so cool. But just like, it's the drudge of it. It's like just walking around and having to upkeep constantly. You're just like, oh, I don't need this.
Do you think that, like, because usually I always feel like when there's a bit of drudge in a game, it's to mask the fact that actually there's not that much to do in it.
So the thing that makes me hopeful that that's not the case is that every time you walk into a new area, you'll get like three quests just for walking in. Okay. And they can be like really silly, like almost like achievement style quests. Yeah. Like, so one of them that popped up for me was kill a Wendigo while wearing a clown costume.
Nice.
And I'd not found a clown costume or a Wendigo. So I'm like, shit, that's fun. That like leads you on. And I think that's testament to there's going to be a lot of quests to do. We never did. Oh, I never got to do any of the event quests, but there are things where it's like everyone in the world is like, now you have to kill robots. Yeah. And so you have to find a place with robots and take them down. And it's like, I thought that's quite a cool way of keeping you working within the world. I don't know what the story is behind that happening, but it's quite fun.
What's the, how does it work in within its persistent world, I assume?
Yeah. So you're dropped in, but there's only, so what? Some people were told, I wasn't, I found out afterwards. Like, I asked how many people were allowed in the world, and the guy was like, no, we haven't really confirmed that yet. Other people asked, they're like, 24. So I don't know what that's about. No. But apparently it's 24 people. But it's a giant
world. Were
they
trusted people that they were talking to? It's like, do you remember when we did the Switch Arms event?
Yeah.
The dude was like, I think we asked him, oh, can you play it docked and undocked?
Oh, yeah.
And the guy was like,
and they weren't telling anyone.
Like, he literally had no idea. He's like, yeah, why not?
It's fine. Fuck it.
People are like, 24. That sounds good.
My question about that is, say, obviously, the whole idea is that you've got nukes and you can set off nukes in different regions. If I was playing one day and somebody in my game set off a nuke in a region, if I came back a week later, would that still be persistent?
So the nuke, I think, is like just, it essentially is a timed event.
Okay.
So like, it doesn't.
But what about the fallout from that?
I don't think it changes the landscape that it hits, except when it's active, if you see what I mean.
Right.
But they haven't talked about how, like, our demo ended with a nuke hitting.
Yeah.
Nothing more. So we don't know. Right, what it means, but apparently, if you can survive the radiation there, which is like power armor or whatever, then there's like special stuff that spawns in that zone for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, and then it like resets.
Yeah, and then I assume it just stops. Like, it doesn't really make sense, but it's kind of odd. But there's other weird questions, because like, you get stuff like, you build a base, but you're not always going to jump into the same server. So does it spawn your base there every time? And what happens if someone else has built a base in the same place?
Yeah.
I think what it does is your base is in the server for as long as you are there.
Right.
Then when you log out and log into a new one, that base is gone, except you have the blueprints for it, so you can just drop what you made anywhere.
That would be fine.
Yeah. So that's okay.
Yeah.
But it is a bit odd. It doesn't feel like you own a bit of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless it was like people were hosting a server of it.
I don't think they're going to do that, though.
But then that way it could be your world and people could drop in and out of that. But
it's a really strange thing.
Yeah, it sounds messy.
Like, it does sound messy. I am quite interested to play the final game because I think it's going to feel strange, like in the same way that Sea of Thieves did a bit. And we know, like, none of us play Sea of Thieves now.
Yeah.
And I think it might be the same thing where it's like, wow, this is really new and different and trying stuff and I'm done with it.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with that being the case if I give it a few hours and go, it's not for me.
Yeah.
But if it's interesting, it's better than just boring.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a weird one, but like, cool place. So good.
Speaking of massive maps.
Oh yeah.
Dale.
Yo.
You're eating them.
It's a bit extreme, but I came to this realization last night when I was playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which, by the way, I love.
Yeah.
It's like one of my favorite games of the year. Definitely. I think it's absolutely brilliant, but I had a quest and I had to get in my ship and it said 8,000 kilometers away and I sat there for 10 minutes while my ship...
8,000 kilometers?
Was it?
Isn't that like a quarter of the world.
I mean, it feels like it, yeah. No, it's at 8,000 km, so yeah.
Jesus Christ. And wait, how big is the world? I'm going to write this down. Carry on.
Anyway, so I sat there in my ship for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I was so fucking bored sitting there, and I was just like, when is this going to get reined in? Games are getting so big now. And I feel like, yeah, we've got fast travel elements, but do they need to be that big? Yeah. Like, I look at a game like God of War, for example. I think like it felt massive, but it was the perfect size for like moving around. I don't know. What do you guys think?
How big is the world?
The equatorial circumference of the Earth is about 40,000 kilometers.
Okay.
It can't be 8,000 that you were asked to go.
Yeah, the number said 8,000.
That's insane.
I genuinely get a bit stressed out. Like, I'm absolutely stressed out by Red Dead.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff that I keep hearing about me, like... Yeah, it's like getting proper panicked out, being like, I'm never going to be able to do it. I'm never going to see it all. What am I? I'm like, I've got awful sense of direction. Like, what is going to happen to me in this game?
Well, especially just
in
Red Dead. Getting into Saint Denis.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck am I?
Especially in Red Dead, where, there is a minimap, but there's not like, it's more dynamic in how you find your way around the world, right? As far as I understand.
Well, they've just done a thing where you can switch off the minimap completely.
Yeah. That's apparently not true.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. It's just that NPCs and stuff will give you directions. Yeah.
Right.
But it doesn't matter whether your minimap's on or off.
Oh, like, they just do that. Right. Yeah,
so they do that in Odyssey as well. So and when you start up Odyssey, there's a choice of a casual mode or an exploration mode.
Oh, yeah.
And you can switch on and off. But exploration mode basically means there's no waypoints, no pointers. Yeah. And they say they'll give you clues. You can ask more questions and they'll say, oh, they're in this. I last saw in this region and that's in the north of here. And you can find your own way around it. But I quickly turn that off because it's like, I'm already like 40 hours into this game, I haven't finished the story.
Mm. Yeah.
It'd be double that time if you're trying to find all these places.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it made me think about Red Dead and thinking, I'm, like you said, stressing out already thinking about getting around this world.
Yeah.
I just don't have the completionist thing in me, so it doesn't, I don't mind if I miss stuff.
Right.
Like the idea of Red Dead to me is great because I'm like, I'm just finding my way around and seeing what I see.
Yeah.
And that's what's, but what I like that I've created my own story.
But what if you're following the story, like the main narrative?
But I mean, it does give you waypoints for that.
Yeah.
Like, you would just go, all right, it's over there.
I just feel like I'm just spending so much time traversing and not actually doing what's fun. And Red Dead might not be like that. It might be fun entirely long way. I haven't played it. But I feel like Assassin's Creed Odyssey is, there's these huge moments of where nothing is happening.
Right,
but everything else is like, they've leaned away from realism for a lot of stuff, and I think it's to its benefit. It's made it so much fun.
Yeah,
like I think it was at level 20 I unlocked the ability to just jump off anything and you never get full damage. So last night I jumped off something, it must have been about 600 foot, and she just glides through the air, and right at the last moment she just tucks and rolls onto the floor.
That's brilliant.
And it's incredible, and it's like, obviously it's so far away from realism, but it's just making the game more fun.
Yeah.
I just think this travel element, especially on a ship, is just, that's the one thing that I'm not having fun with anymore. So worlds are too big. Bring them in.
Yeah, I suppose it's all about how you travel around it. Because Spider-Man's world is pretty big, but he can get everywhere at like 300 miles an hour.
Well, exactly. So and like cliches is like, you know, traversal is really fun in that game as well. Whereas Assassin's, like, even like running from one point to a next point is not fun.
I love that so many people have now complimented Spider-Man on how fun it is to get around, that people are bored of saying how fun it is to get around. It's like, yeah, I know, it's great.
Well, it's the default thing to say, isn't it, about Spider-Man?
Really, really makes you feel like Spider-Man as well.
Yeah.
I think you make a good point, though, about the God of War thing.
Yeah.
Is that is quite a big world, but at the same time, it's quite, like,
what's fun?
I felt like, because the next thing you're doing was always a couple of minutes away.
Yeah.
Mm. And when you look at it over a whole, you say, oh, actually, it was pretty massive, but it was always the next step was close. Whereas I feel like I'm going from here, and that doesn't work on a podcast, but I'm going from one point in the map to the other, then back again, and it's just
all over the place. As soon as you get Midir, is that the Scottish dude's name? Midir, as soon as you get him, all those boat trips are fucking brilliant.
Absolutely,
because you learn so much more about it, but not in a way that's just like, yes, a dump of a load of information. The way they tell the stories on those little boats is amazing.
Well, that's a really good point. I've already written about this, but what will make traveling in Red Dead fun is that you can talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as you pass someone, you're like, I'm going to start a conversation with them, and that might turn into something.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it is about, you know, travel just needs to become fun in and of itself. And that becomes a reason to do it.
I mean, the core root of playing a game is to have fun, and if I'm going through it, an experience because it's realistic, but not fun.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What does that achieve?
It's about so I suppose it's like justifying travel as opposed to take it out.
Absolutely, And there is a guy, like a companion on the ship. Well, there's loads of guys on the ship and they just sing songs.
Yes,
but there's a guy next to the ship, but he barely says anything. He tells you if you're going into a high level area, it's like, we probably shouldn't be here. And that's about it. And then you see Scrappage, you go, probably should pick that up. And that's about it. That's the conversation you have with the guy. It's very limited.
To be fair, you could do any of all the things we just said, or just fuck it off like Nintendo, be like, Link's got a motorbike now for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah. Also, they give it to you after you've completed quite literally everything you can do in the game.
So you're just doing donuts, being like, wish I had this 60 hours ago.
That's literally all I did with it. So, cool, done some donuts, and it can jump. I'm turning this game off forever now.
They've got, I think it's, you have to get to level 50 or something like that, or it's you have to buy credits, real world money.
Yeah.
But you can get like
a plane,
a unicorn horse, and like and a flaming horse and stuff like that. And it's like, but I don't want that after I finish the game. Yeah. I want that now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Mm. But apparently there's a lot of stuff. Like, there's one thing, I spoke to the people who were making the game at Gamescom, like one of the head writers and the director, and they were saying, apparently the post-game stuff, they were just like, there's so much amazing stuff in there.
Ah, yeah.
So hopefully.
I mean, it is an incredible game. I'm really having a lot of fun with it. It's just massive.
Yeah, I'm watching my girlfriend play it, and like Clara's, she really likes it, but I think she prefers the old style of Assassin's Creed before it was like proper full-on RPG
stuff. She's mega fan from the old school, isn't she?
So she does absolutely love it. She says like, this is the first time that she actually feels like she enjoys, like for ages she's actually enjoyed being with one of the assassins. She's playing as the dude.
Yeah.
But she was like, he actually feels like Ezio, like levels of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, she's obviously forgetting about Edward Kenway there, but it's fine.
But you kind of make them into your own character anyway, with all the dialogue options and stuff. You could like, my Cassandra is an arsehole. Yeah. I said that about it. I mean, like, anything I can say that's horrible.
A sexy arsehole.
If I see the little symbol, which means I can get into a fight immediately and murder them, then I choose that one every single time.
I saw a brilliant headline. I think it was VG247 this morning. It just said, Assassin's Creed Odyssey has a quest where you can kill someone's mum and shag their dad.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's a lot of fucking going on in this game. I've had sex with about five people so far. It's
you grotty bastards.
Hey, that little heart symbol comes up, I'm clicking it every time.
Dale Drive his YouTube page is like Mass Effect filth compilation.
How much do you see her there?
They give her a little sexual
hint. You don't see her go in?
No, they walk together and then it fades back and it fades up and they walk back into the same position they're at and they just go, oh, that was good, wasn't it?
I love that they walk together.
Well, that's how sex works, right?
They don't work. They just sort of make a move and then it fades to black.
Oh,
and then
come on. Yeah, I know all my big romantic moments are walking slowly towards my conquest.
And then afterwards going as well, right, isn't it?
I don't think I would ever have the guts to go to a girl. I was right, wasn't it? Because of fear of what the answer was going to be.
Yeah. You don't want to leave that question open.
Yeah.
Just say that was good. Not
You should see some of the grotty people in this game she wants to have sex with as well.
Really?
Like, there was one of them literally looked like a beggar on the street, just like disgusting old woman, and she just started flirting with her.
We've all had those seasons in our like lovemaking where we're like, do you know what? I want to feel disgusting. I want to feel the grottiest I've ever felt.
Do not speak for me, Gavin.
Speaking of grot, when Krupa and I were out in Tokyo the other week, we got to play DMC 5, which I've talked about, but we also got to play Resident Evil 2, which we weren't allowed to talk about till this week.
No one could have cracked that code, even the game you were talking about.
I think I basically said it. But yeah, so we've had a preview go up on the site this week and a nice little interview that Krupa did with the people. We also just about have the unofficial preview go up as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got to play another bit of Claire.
Cool.
In the police station going about, because the only time that people have been able to play Claire before was just in a boss battle, which was okay, but that's like 7 minutes long.
I played that bit.
It's good. This is, it's like a 30-minute demo, something like that. And Capcom are fucking brilliant with the way they're doling out these demos, in the sense of like, they chuck you in somewhere which starts off a lovely little sort of quest line where you're doing, and then you forget that you're playing a demo, and so you have to collect obviously fucking keys for the mad security systems that Resident Evil got in their games, and you like it's done this twice to us now, like in the Leon demo and in this, where just as you got the second key and you open this door and you're like, shit, I'm uncovering something, fucking cuts and just goes, see you in January. Nice. And you're like, ah, you bastards. Yeah. But I think that's actually really good because it's made me want to play the game so much. And like from what we've played so far, so this demo, we got to take down some lickers, which is really good. Yeah. And like the way they've redesigned them is fucking grim.
So I read, I think it was in Cooper's Preview actually, yeah, saying about how now, because they're in a 3D space, like they can move how they originally wanted them to move because the combat can be real. Like you can aim completely 360 degrees.
Yeah.
Whereas before you could only point up at the roof or down on the floor.
Yeah.
I saw a really fun thing with the original liquor scene the other day, which I was like, you know when YouTube's playing and then it just autoplays stuff in the background, you're not really paying attention. For some reason it got onto like 10 game secrets that no one's seen before.
I legitimately watched that this morning.
Yeah, he's got a terrible voice, that guy. But the liquor scene, if you played it in 4:3 as it was meant to be, it's totally normal. But if you play that scene with the camera angle it has in widescreen, there's just a floating human severed head in the top right. And it's because originally after the liquor scene, a head would fall down at your feet.
Right, okay, yeah.
But when they were told that's too gory for this age rating, you have to take that out. They just left the head floating on the roof. So you play a widescreen, there's just this weird face just looking at you.
So rather than take out the code, it has it there. It's obviously, it's always there.
They just took out the animation.
They took out the animation for it. That's amazing.
The thing I like about that is he showed it in the 4:3. And when you know it's there, you can still actually see it.
The top of his hair.
You can see things again. You just wouldn't be able to tell what it is unless you see it in widescreen.
It's really funny.
It's mad.
That's really
cool. That's so weird that I watched that video today as well.
That guy's getting mad clicks.
Even if we just slagged him off.
Oh, he's got an awful voice.
The best thing about it though is like I definitely had it with 7. I didn't play enough of 6 to be able to get this feeling from it,
right.
And it definitely had it with 5 is in the sense of like the Resident Evil thing of having to conserve your ammo like massively, that's just gone out the window by the, like the modern games.
Yeah,
but this goes back to it. So even in the demo, like you can we've got like gameplay of me doing it, what we just put up. Even in that demo, I've run out of ammo because I'm playing it like I did played like Resident Evil 7, which you did have to conserve to a degree, but there was still quite a lot.
So it does that thing what all Resi games, well, not all, like you just said, but the early Resi games did. Well, I always felt like in the first few hours, conservation was absolutely key. Like you'd run out all the time, but by the end of the game, you'd have a massive stockpile that you never use because you were training yourself to reserve it every
time. Well, that's what we did when we did prepare to try Resident Evil 7. Like we kept telling Powers, like, stop fucking shooting like us, like a sign and stuff like that, because you're going to waste your ammo. And then by the end, we had loads of stuff left. Like we had like the Magnum that we'd bought and been like, don't use it because the ammo's really scarce. By the end of the game, we're like, oh yeah, we never did use that Magnum.
the thing is, it's always you're never sure when the end's going to be and what's going to be around the corner. The key is if you're in a boss battle, use the Magnum every time. But yeah, like I said, it changed at the start, but by the end, you're loaded.
I can't remember the last time I actually played Resident Evil 2. It would have been GameCube, I think.
So I played it about a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it very much was exactly like that. Like, I remember there were several points where I had no bullets whatsoever and I was just having to knife zombies or try and run around them.
Yeah.
But like I said, by the end of the game, loaded. So hopefully it's the same.
The cool thing with this knife is obviously you can just like use it to slice people off. But then I forgot that actually your knife takes a battering as well. So your knife has got like health and it dies and you have to get a new knife.
It's
a little funeral service for it. But also it does this thing where there's a bunch of different stuff can be in your sort of, I guess like, what would it be? Like not your main ammo bit, but your sort of B ammo bit. So if someone...
inventory?
No, but something like grabs you, you can either throw a grenade, or if something grabs you, you can put the grenade in their mouth.
Oh, that was fucking... Yeah. I'd never seen that before. That was cool as shit.
It's really good, but at the same time, because you're panicking because something is jumping on you, you end up using lots of the really good ammo that you should be keeping on just like a jobber zombie, just because they've grabbed you and you've panicked and gone, stick a grenade in his mouth.
Just feel like in the Resident Evil remake, they had those knives, didn't they? Anytime you were grabbed, you could use them as like a get out sort of move.
Yeah.
But they didn't have any other use, whereas a grenade, you kind of want that thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I'm absolutely loved everything I've played so far. Like,
I've got two questions about it.
Go for it.
Quickly.
Let me see if I can answer it.
So in Resident Evil 2 originally, you had the A and B storylines. So you'd play through whoever you chose first, and you'd be the A storyline, and then whoever you chose second would be the B storyline. Is that the same again? Do you know? Or is it? Do they just have Leon-specific and Claire-specific now?
I'm not sure, actually.
I feel like they did address that, but I can't remember what the actual answer was. Mm. I'm going to look at it.
Because it feels like a lot of work, like creating double the storylines, both times. So it's four storylines, basically.
There have been some bits, though, that we've played now that I remember being from the opposite point of view.
Okay.
Like last time. So, because the Leon demo that we played, all the stuff that when you're talking to the chief of police, I remember being Claire and talking to him. Like, because that happens, isn't it?
So in storyline A, you don't talk to him. But in storyline B, you do.
You do. Okay, yeah.
So maybe, hopefully it is. Because I just thought it was really just a cool concept for a game.
Yeah, it's really good, yeah.
And while Joe's looking up, the second question is, when you use a key and it's used, does it still tell you, ask you if you want to discard this, yes or no? Who's saying no in that situation?
I don't think that it has, it gives you that prompt anymore.
Good.
Because I was using a key the other, I've used a key that I'm pretty sure has opened every single door that that door can open.
Yeah.
But it didn't ask me if I wanted to discard it, so I ended up with it.
I don't mind
box.
Discarding it, but it shouldn't actually. It just said, we're going to discard this key now. Yeah. Like,
it should just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You always say yes or no. No, keep it and
keep
use
it. Stick it in the box
space.
And have a look at it. Yeah.
There are just two storylines, Leon and Claire. There's no AB element to it anymore.
Oh, right. Cool. Okay.
There you go. Questions, answers.
Yep.
January is coming out, man.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's so soon.
I knew.
It feels weird.
Joe.
Hello.
Also, you went to Scotland the other day.
I did.
A game we're all very excited about.
Yes.
Tell us about it right now.
It's called Observation. We definitely talked about Stories Untold when it came out on the podcast.
We did,
I'm
yeah.
sure we did.
Even though we found out the other day.
Never reviewed
IGN
it.
Never reviewed it.
Very mad.
Some of the guff that we fucking review and we haven't reviewed that. Yeah. I wish that we'd known, as you said, because you said you definitely would review
Stories
it,
Untold. Like, at least a 9.
Absolutely,
there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but it was one of our horror games of 2018, and I nominated it for Best Adventure Game, which it didn't win, but never mind.
What won Best Adventure Game?
Can't remember.
Some bollocks.
Good. but basically, No Code, who made that, I have revealed Observation.
Yeah.
With
us. Actually, yeah, because we should say Stories Untold, if you haven't played it, like it's worth, but you probably pay for about £4 now.
Oh, it's incredible as well.
It's a series of sort of like little stories that are kind of connected.
Yeah.
And you use, it's very broken down sense, a point and click sort of text adventure.
Well, that's it. It shifts genre constantly. So the first episode is essentially just a text adventure, old school, like, look here, go north. The second one turns into something else. The third one turns and it keeps cascading into like new systems. It's amazing. Observation takes that idea and kind of formalizes it into one single story. And this, it turns out, was the game No Code always wanted to make. This is what they originally pitched to their publishers, Devolver.
Yeah.
And whilst they were working out how to make it, came up with the Game Jam game, The House Abandoned, that became Stories Untold and made that first. So Observation is a game described best by John McKellen, who is the director, as 2001 A Space Odyssey, but you're HAL. So you are the AI on a space station where things are going wrong. So all the astronauts, bar one, have disappeared, and you are rebooted by the current astronaut who's left, Emma Fisher, and essentially you're just trying to work out what's going on. So I played a demo at the start, from what I think is around the start of the game, to a major twist.
Yeah.
And all I did was essentially look around from the station cameras trying to work out, like, how do I open doors as an AI?
Yeah.
And it means, like, interfacing with their control panels, going into your system OS, like, unlocking them. And all of the stuff is just... The best way I found to describe it is, like, you're not solving puzzles that are given to you with, like, solutions. The puzzle is what... is the puzzle.
Yeah.
Like you're going, how do I do this?
Yeah. How would I do this
if I was a computer without legs? Like, and that's the weirdest thing. That's the cleverest part of it is you're still essentially playing a normal puzzle game.
Yeah.
It's just you're a character that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You're just an intelligence that exists in the space station. It's just it's the coolest idea for a game. Like for years I've wanted a game like Mass Effect, where you play an alien.
Yeah.
The idea being like, I'm just learning what it is to be an alien.
Yeah.
I'm not a human. I don't know what I am.
Yeah.
And like role playing that. And this kind of works on that same principle of like, I've never been an AI before.
Yeah.
And that's the core of the game.
Is there much like roleplay elements to it? Like, is there like dialogue options?
So it's not, it's a very straight, I think it's a straightforward narrative experience. Yeah. Like there are elements where things can change depending on whether you succeed or fail.
Yeah.
But mostly it's about doing what the game wants you to do, okay, because it has a specific story to tell. But the really clever thing is it deals with you being a human behind the AI by treating you as if you're malfunctioning.
Okay.
So if you do something stupid or wrong, the astronaut's like either suspicious or angry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there were times when I did one playthrough where I was a really good, obedient AI.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I was like, can I play that again and just see what would have happened? And they were like, yeah. So I went back and just fucked up. And it's essentially just the Emma Fisher just being like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, I didn't ask you to do that. And like at one point where it's a timed event, she's just like, what is going on?
The thing is, that's exactly what you'd be like. Because if your computer's not doing the stuff that a computer's meant to do and it's like, you know, taking a while over it or not doing it exactly as you've told it to do.
Yeah.
You would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Exactly. Computer? And so loads of the interest of it is in realizing that everything you're doing is invisible to her.
Yeah.
So like she asks for a door to open it and it opens, but you've just done three things to do it.
Yeah.
And like it's really smart. It's a really cool way of doing it.
Yeah.
We've got a preview with gameplay that no one else has.
Yeah.
That you can watch right now, which is, I think, it kind of, without giving too much away of what the story it's telling, I think tells you what it is to play that game a lot.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Do you think there's a way that it could get, because you said, like, it sounds amazing when you're like, right, I've just worked out how to open a door. That's absolutely fine. Does it then throw a bunch of those at you where, okay, now you've got to open doors all the time, and every time you do, you've got to go through the same system?
I don't think it does. The demo I played, every single puzzle was completely different.
Right.
Like, so it's more, how do I do the next task rather than how am I just getting around?
Yeah.
It seems like quite quickly you move from CCTV cameras to having, like, an overall view of the whole place, so you can like turn lights on and off and open doors from your like overall map, and then you can transfer your like consciousness into little sphere drones, so then you start actually first person moving around the station. But again, the really cool thing is they've built it like the ISS, like they've got like Haynes manuals for the ISS office. And it's built like the ISS, meaning there's no up or down.
Yeah.
So you'll like be going along and you're like, oh, I need to go left. You're like, there's nothing left. And then you're like, oh shit, it's above me because the whole thing's this maze. So it's you suddenly start getting into this weird headspace of like, I don't know where I'm going because this place is just twisted and like spacey.
Just one last question, because obviously you mentioned about how. I'm just wondering, what are the elements of, instead of just making mistakes or taking too long, can you purposely sabotage as well?
So the only thing where it turned into sabotage on my bad playthrough was the bit where there was like a timed event. It was to release a piece of the station that was shearing off. Because I think the station's in rotation, like it's spinning. And it's this thing that's causing it to spin. So you're trying to uncouple this one module so that it just floats gently off.
Yeah.
And when I did it the first time, it floats and it just sort of like sits next to the thing.
Yeah.
But when you're fucked up, it just tumbled, like broke off and tumbled into space.
Right.
It doesn't make a difference to the overall story.
Yeah.
But the guy, John McKellen, hinted like, if you'd done that right, later on you may have gotten in there.
Yeah.
You may have been able to do a sort of spacewalk of sorts.
Right, okay, yeah.
Or like somehow interface with it and see what was in that.
Yeah.
But now you can't.
Yeah.
So, but it's not clear how much, like, whether it's just success, failure, or what it is.
Imagine if, like, there was low oxygen and you could only support so many people. You could decide to have one of them locked in and just fire it up.
But this is like, it really seems like it could, I don't know where it's going. But this is actually something I want to address on the fucking YouTube video. There's a bit where I say, my demo ends with a twist. I don't want to spoil it. Suffice it to say, the station is not where it's meant to be.
Yeah.
The fact that the station is not meant to be where it is not the twist. There's all these people going, says he doesn't want to spoil the twist, then spoils it. I'm obviously not saying what the twist is. There's something beyond that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had to go into the YouTube comments and go, that's not the twist. But it just looks fucking great. And sounds it's out in spring. Wicked. Like, it's really soon. It's PC and PS4.
It looks fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. The thing I've missed out is that it is also like a horror game. So something has caused this. Yeah. And all you see is like VHS interference. Ooh. And like these big letters come up just saying, bring her.
Yeah.
You're like, Jesus Christ, what's happened?
Well, so that guy, John McCann, he did all the interface stuff for Alien Isolation. Like, he, and there's something about the stuff that he makes that just fucking clicks a button inside my mind.
Oh my God.
It's just, yes, like, please.
There's this really interesting thing. I was talking to the UK Devolver PR about him. And there's this weird thing where I was talking to him. I was like, oh, so what's your like trajectory? And so he told me where he'd come from, what he'd done. He was like, on Alien Isolation, I started out as a UI designer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I helped out a bit on the story and then I helped out a bit on the design. And I was sitting there like, oh, that's cool. And I thought about it later. I'm like, no, that's not normal. Like a UI designer doesn't become like a design director for a game unless he's fucking good.
Yeah, and that's what he's talking about.
And that's the kind of person he is, like totally understated. But what he's doing is like approaching genius level design and he's one man doing it. God. Like, I mean, observations made by more than one man, but he's like spearheading that project. Yeah. It's fucking cool.
I don't think it is, but it sounds like the sort of thing that would be really cool in VR as well.
So I think it was originally pitched as a VR game,
but
you know, VR's not selling. Yeah. So I don't think that'll be a thing because so much of it is about the input as well.
Yeah,
right. As it is, like, it would be really weird if the CCTV cameras were like your face.
Yeah.
Because then you'd just be like, whereas the point is it's really slow. So it's constant dread of like, I might be about to reveal something horrible. Hmm. I'm not sure.
You can transfer your consciousness to a little droid.
What's to say I can't do it to a woman astronaut?
Are you going to be able to, do you think that's where it's going? Because in my head, I'm just like, well, he's just sort of upgrading himself. And if he, as it goes, could he end up in a sex robot's body?
I don't know about the sex robot's body. But
do they take sex robots to space?
Like, they in the sex...
Why are you not asking this?
I don't know. What about the piss tubes?
Like, he gives like a pitch in the studio. Question.
Yeah.
Re-piss tubes. Well,
if you're talking about good endings to demos, like, again, not giving away the twist.
Yeah.
Part of the thing of this is you like, I spent the whole thing going, oh, it reminds me of Hal. He speaks like Hal. He's like, he acts, the way you see seems similar.
Yeah.
But like, he's good. Yeah. He's essentially an obedient, good AI. He's trying to help in a bad situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But by the end, like after I'd finished, I was sort of thinking about it. I was like, did he do all this? Like, and you sort of sit there going like, oh shit, maybe the point is that I'm playing a rebooted version of the bad guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, they've left it in such a good place that I'm just sitting here going like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to come next. Like, it's so cool.
It feels like that would be a bit obvious because of, you know, the whole Hal thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and also, like, the interference suggests there's
something else.
A presence or something else is there. And I hope that's the thing because I want to know what that is.
Maybe it's a low-key Alien Isolation, like,
prequel. Jokes.
Yeah. Good.
Although actually, it's worth pointing out, the woman who's playing Emma Fisher was the face of Ripley in Alien Isolation.
Oh, so shit.
Maybe it is. Who bloody knows?
Amazing.
Yeah. Go on, Em.
Other fun things that have happened this week. Joe?
Yeah?
You're on the Wikipedia page for Waluigi.
I am. That was brought to my attention yesterday by someone on Twitter. So I know, like, I'm quoted on quite a few Wikipedia pages, mainly because of news. So it's always, like, citation from one of our stories. But this is the first time I remember where it's, like, something where it was my opinion.
Yeah. Because it's an actual feature you did from E3, right?
Yeah, so it's the Smash Bros. Preview from E3.
Yeah.
And in which I say, as a joke, it's a new game. It's part of a wider sentence that I end with, as a jokey aside, another slap in the face for people who wanted Waluigi as a playable character. On the page for Waluigi, they've taken that out of context, and it looks like I'm really angry.
I feel like it reads like that's another slap in the face from Nintendo.
Yeah,
so it's just like they're really going after this Waluigi fan.
I'm just furious about it. But yeah, it's really interesting. Like, I never really expected that. I went through and looked, and like, there's some funny things on there, but Waluigi is definitely the best page I'm associated with.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's some... The whole Waluigi thing and the internet thing...
I don't get it.
I don't think it's a thing that I enjoy.
No.
It's
just like... It's that weird like irony of like, oh, let's pick something that's obviously like...
Yeah, the worst.
He's not shit. He's just... He's just there. Just, like, he was invented for a tennis game. Yeah. Like, that's
well, it's
all
a bit
it
of a
is.
Dumb construct, though, yeah. isn't it?
It's just like, okay, great. He exists. But, like, the weird idolization of it really gets on my nerves. Yeah. Like, people fucking love him.
Whereas, although, to be fair, if it was something that I enjoyed and people were doing, I'd be like, this is brilliant. Like, I like the way that the Babadook's been reclaimed
as a gay icon.
As a gay icon.
Yeah, like, that's really good.
I love. I think that's fucking hilarious. And because it winds people up as well.
Still the funniest Twitter name ever is Thick Babadook.
Thick Babadook. Writing quite a thing. Also, somebody pointed out this week that I'm in Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah.
As an evil gnome.
I'm sure that was pointed out when that game first came out.
Really?
I seem to remember people
posting that. Yeah, I remember
seeing that to you.
Yeah. So, before, at some point.
Well, everything's happened, everything will happen again.
Okay.
No, Jesus.
Time's a flat circle.
It's to the point where I've looked at it so much and it is actually my face.
Yeah.
Like, I was doing that face when I looked at the picture. It is fucking mental.
It's, well, it's like when so close. Someone sent in a picture the other day of initially what looks like just fan art of you as Bayonetta.
Right.
But it comes from a Tumblr of someone who just draws beard versions of sexy female game characters.
Yeah.
And, like, just so happens that whatever version of Bayonetta they have in their head is you. It's fucking mental.
I wish I looked like Bayonetta. That would be sweet. If I...
Once you've had that beans on toast diet.
Yeah. 6 months later, she was like, you weren't on the Branston beans, were you? Oh my God. I'm just massive.
Branston beans and cheese.
Yeah. I know that the fucking dude at the beginning of Seven. Just like roped to my fucking kitchen table. Just going, oh,
heart must be the size of a canned
hand. Am I sexy yet?
It's beans dribbling out of your mouth.
Yeah. The answer is yes. Do you know what else is sexy?
Yes.
Little Go game on. I like to call Keyword Countdown. Time for Keyword Countdown. It's Keyword Countdown. Time for Keyword Countdown. It's Keyword Countdown. Here we go. This is Keyword Countdown. Another jingle. Who knows? We've got two jingles for it. Who cares? If you don't know what Keyword Countdown is, IMDb categorize their films via a bunch of crazy keywords. What I or what Adam at AJM underscore 3391.
Oh, God.
Fuck. He's a bot. has done. It's taken five films, 10 keywords apiece. You guys have to guess what the film is and what the link is. The link is an absolute banger.
Okay.
I send quite a lot of these, and you can send them to me at CameraGav, DM me on Twitter. I guess sent quite a lot of these now, and the way I sift through them is by the link. Mm. If the link is good, it's going in, lads.
Yeah.
Here we go then. Everyone at home, shush up. Everyone in the studio, shush up. Five films. Film number one. Insomnia. Overhearing Sex.
The Machinist.
Oh, Fight Club.
Yes.
Banger. I could have got that on Insomnia
as well.
I thought
someone was getting it. I messaged the dude saying, I think someone's going to get it on the first one.
Oh, goddamn.
That's 9 points to Joe. Character repeating someone else's dialogue. Reference to IKEA. Homoerotic. Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Condo. Man with No Name. Cult film. Soap. Good guys. A little bit too obvious at the beginning, but the rest of them aren't like that. Film number two. Milking a Cow.
Kingpin.
Mouth Wound.
The Dark Knight.
What's the one where it's the Amish girl?
Lifted a Male into the Air.
The Fugitive.
Dead Person with Eyes Open.
I'm stuck on Mouth Wound.
I'm stuck on Milking a Cow.
Hiding Under a Bed.
It.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Oh, my yes. God.
Oh, I could have got that after fucking Mouth Wound as well.
Yeah. He's running away with it, lads. That is two guesses and 14 points to Joe. Loss of Mother, Spanish Civil War, Feast, Fawn.
Mm.
I like Pan's Lab on your notes because it's a different film. That.
Do you know what? I've only ever seen that once in cinema and I didn't care for it.
Same. I'm the exact same. Watched it once and wasn't that bothered.
It is a masterpiece.
I think it's because I was so excited. It's one of those films where I was so excited for it that I was just too excited going in that I couldn't really enjoy it properly.
Yeah. I think the second time you watch it, when you're more... When you're less concentrated on the fantasy stuff, like the real world stuff hits way harder and it's fucking brutal, that film. The man with the stutter in it always makes me cry.
I don't remember that.
It's horrible.
Here we go.
I hate stutters. I don't hate stutters.
Film number three. Interracial friendship.
Rush hour.
Male pubic hair.
Bright.
Wayne's World.
Trailer narrated by Hal Douglas.
That's a really good keyword. Male pubic hair.
Character says, have a nice day.
The Truman Show.
Predator.
Assembling a rifle.
Jarhead?
Terminator.
Fictional biography.
Men who stare at goats. No, that's a real biography.
Nike. Or Nike.
Forrest Gump.
Motherfucker. I reckon Joe was there for me.
Joe with the 4 points there.
Why did Nike was the word for both of us, wasn't it?
Legacy. Two-word title. Shrimp.
Legacy?
Yeah. Don't know.
How low down is legacy?
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
This bot needs to get his algorithm straight.
Here we go then. Film number four. Mexican housekeeper.
Spanglish.
Sex interrupted by telephone.
I bet that's a surprisingly common theme.
Yeah.
Los Angeles, California.
Made in Manhattan.
Die Hard.
This is fucking brilliant.
Los Angeles, California. Made in Manhattan. One of us.
This is great. Automatic dishwasher.
Back to the Future. No, that's not set in Los Angeles.
Camera shot of a woman's legs.
Basic Instinct.
What is this?
Title spoken by character.
Gremlins. There's gremlins everywhere.
Abuse of power.
What is this?
I've forgotten half the clues already.
Racial prejudice. Our
American
old friend.
History X. The default answer.
One word title. Final clue. Traffic accident.
Crash.
Traffic.
Joe's got it.
God damn, Joe.
So what are we on now, Joe? You are on.
You are blazing.
You turn red, blazing.
Three.
How's the game, baby?
Four guesses.
I just realised someone tweeted in saying that they like it when I say baby. I've just done it again.
Oh my God.
19 points, Joe, with four guesses.
It's all right.
Bang it. Here we go. Film number five. Lingerie.
What was True that? Lies.
The look was extra special then. Lingerie. Okay.
Layer cake.
Arm in a sling.
Seven psychopaths.
Bare-chested male.
Fight Club again.
Flashback within a flashback.
Oh, we've had this Moon. Before. Memento.
Holding someone's head underwater.
Stop it. Grand Budapest Hotel.
Dying repeatedly.
Live, die, repeat. Or Edge of Tomorrow.
Jesus, don't.
Animal experimentation.
12 monkeys?
Drawing blanks here.
Actor playing a dual role.
The Nutty Professor.
That is the best that's ever happened. What were we watching the other day where someone, it was like, a video of the best some of our best modern actors talking about the best ever performances.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And everyone is like talking about like, oh, like I really thought it's, like, this person was fucking brilliant. And then just who is it and says Eddie Murphy and Not Even Right? And it's not a joke. And it's not like Tracy Morgan or someone going like, he was playing them off.
Oh, Is it like dude who was in Avatar? What's he called?
I think
Sam
Worthington.
Is it Sam Worthington? Let's have a look.
I had Ewan McGregor in my head, but here we go. Anyway, let's finish this one.
Yeah.
Act Pain Duel, Rivalry.
Multiplicity.
Is Moon again?
Where's Multiple Roles?
Final clue.
Oh my God. So annoying.
Duplicate.
I mean...
The Prestige.
Yeah.
Oh, my fuck's sake.
Come on, lad. We haven't had it for ages.
Wait, read those again.
It's great. Lingerie.
Where's lingerie?
Scarlett Johansson's in when she's on stage. Okay. She's in lingerie. Arm in a sling. When he hurts himself. Bare-chested male.
Yeah,
quite lots a lot of Jackman. That. Flashback within a flashback.
Yeah.
Holding someone's head underwater.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, he's technically holding
his own head
underwater. So, there's not a bit where somebody holds another head, is there? I think it's just his own head underwater.
Yeah.
Dying repeatedly.
Yeah.
Animal experimentation. Mm. Rivalry. Actor playing a dual role. Duplicate.
Idiot.
Yeah, I know.
Can I feel really stupid.
Make sure the Prestige is banned now.
No. It keep putting it in. But,
no.
I won't put it in every week. But now and again, when people come up with... Because this was really good.
Yeah.
I thought the keywords for this were really good.
Okay.
That's why I put it in. Joe, you won that. 19 points. 2-1.
I wanted a clean sweep.
But
absolutely battered me.
What is the link? We got Crash, The Prestige, Pan's Labyrinth, Fight Club. What was the other one? Forrest Gump.
Zimmo soundtracks.
That's a good guess. Not one.
I have no idea.
Oh, what is it?
It's pretty good.
Crash has got to be the one that gives it away.
No, I was going to say something that about real world events affecting something. All I'm thinking is Forrest Gump, basically.
Pan's Labyrinth, though. That's a good one. Yeah. Spanish Civil War.
Yeah.
Crash, kind of.
Racism. That's real.
That is real, sadly.
Fight Club.
Fight Club happened.
I don't know about that one.
Prestige.
Oh,
Tesla and Edison's feud. That was real.
Go, that's the answer. Cool. Give me the
point. I can't.
No, I know what this is.
Movies that begin with the ending, lads.
Oh.
So Fight Club, Gun in the Mouth of the Site of the Building Bombings, Pan's Labyrinth, Ophelia's Death, Forrest Gump, Waiting for the Bus to See Jenny and Meet His Son, Picking Up the Falling Feather, The Prestige, The Great Danton's Death at the Hands of His Own Magic Trick, and Crash begins with the crash and jumps back to the previous day.
Yeah. That is very good.
Very good.
That was an absolute banger of a link, banger of a keyword countdown.
I don't know if the Sam Worthington thing was right. I feel sorry for him if I was wrong.
Is someone of that ilk?
Yeah. Speaking of Zimmo soundtracks, there's a brilliant thing. Do either of you listen to the Football Ramble?
Nope.
Yes, occasionally.
So they used to.
They play a jingle for their section called Going for Gold, and it's the theme tune to Going for Gold, which is a stupid piece of like pop fluff.
Yeah.
Zimmo
did it. Yeah.
It was an early Zimmo joint, and it fucking blows my mind.
I love the Football Ramble people. It feels like we've got a good crossover with them, not just because Pete Donaldson's been on this.
Because we're just lads.
I think because we're big old lads.
Just proper lads.
There, but for the grace of God, go us. Like, if we were like less nerdy and we could be cool football lads,
we'd be
on
an incredibly successful football podcast.
Oh, this old shit. Hammering away week after week.
Talking about
what everyone think of the new Aladdin trailer. I wish I was dead. I fucking love this podcast. Let's have some feedback then.
Okay, who wants to read one? Because we've only got two.
Yeah, you go, Joe.
All right. This is essentially one for me, but I'm going to widen it out.
Okay.
I've heard this from Thomas Meadows. I've heard passing mention about The Expanse on the podcast a few times, but I was wondering if anyone actually watches it.
Jesus.
I finished season 3 last week, and it's one of the most gripping seasons of TV I've ever watched. I was wondering what your thoughts were on it. And if you can
what show was this?
The Expanse.
Oh, fine.
And if you can think of any other TV shows that just keep getting better. Now,
it looks mental.
I want to change that question, because I watched 2 seasons of The Expanse, and I think it's absolutely fantastic.
That's the one with...
Thomas Jane?
No. The one with... Who's the man that I like?
Oh, yeah, Jared Harris.
Yeah, Jared Harris.
Doing
I love right. Who's the man that I like.
I know. Jared Harris does genuine, this sounds mental, does a genuinely good crossover accent between Chinese and Jamaican.
Okay.
It's fucking brilliant.
This is Richard Harris's son. a guy whose dad's dead and doesn't have to see this.
The Expanse, I think, is like genuinely brilliant. And mostly that comes down to the story, because it is one of the only shows I ever remember watching all of and enjoying unreservedly, apart from the fact that the effects are shite and the acting's bad. Yeah. Like, I can't... My question is, can either of you think of a show you've watched and loved despite having really insanely obvious flaws? Like...
Interesting.
I should have prepped you, really. But.
Yeah. Interesting.
But I'd also like to throw that out to the audience.
Yeah. I think that's a better one. If you... IGN_UKFeedback@IGN.com. What show do you watch? Do you plug on despite knowing that it's a bit shit?
But that's the thing. I don't think The Expanse is a bit shit. It's just got really... The acting is really bad, but the story's so good and the way everyone moves around and becomes intertwined is so incredible. It doesn't matter that they're bad, because it's like... Well, it's still a brilliant show.
I've not done it that much with TV shows in that. I used to do it with comics all the time. Like, I would buy comics for years after I enjoyed actually the storyline. So I'd like still plugging away, buying a comic every month out of habit.
Yeah.
Even though I actually haven't enjoyed it for ages. I still do it all the time. I just fucking do my nothing.
Give up on things all the time now. Yeah. Like, I feel like the older I get, the easier
I get.
Well,
that's the thing with TV. Like, and I do feel like that a little tiny bit with Netflix as well, where... If something doesn't grab me like instantly,
no point.
Then I'm gone with it. But at the same time, I do think that's quite good, because when something does grab you, you know it's actually something
absolutely,
quite
good. Like, why waste your time watching like average stuff when you can just watch the best, you know?
Yeah.
When you can just watch Mad Men again. Yeah. It's a banger. It's
just brilliant. Watch Finish Lost again. Yeah. Like, just stick to the best.
Wicked. That's good. So what was the question?
The question is there a show that you think is good despite obviously having terrible flaws?
There you go. IGN_UKFeedback@IGN.com. This is from Ned Newbury, who says, "Hey, IGN gang, really enjoyed the Japan special with Daniel and Ezra. They seem very nice." Do you know what? I've had so many messages about that Japan special.
It's really good.
Mostly from our US colleagues going, "Ezra's mad." I love him.
He's brilliant. Ezra is like an unending fact machine. Yeah. Like, every time you mention something on that podcast, he's like, stats. It's incredible.
He's a really, really good dude.
He's legend.
When he gets hammered as well, he talks about his martial arts, and it's brilliant. We were once in Golden Guy when we were back in March, and he wanted me to stand up in this tiny place. Like, all the bars in Golden Guy are fucking tiny, and we were way too many people to be in there anyway. And he wanted me to stand up so he could punch me in the stomach. And there was like a 20-minute conversation where I was like, I can't tell you that this is not happening anymore. Like, it got to the point where there was like this really weird, like, kind of aggressive impasse between us. I was like, I'm not going to let, like, you've told me you're a fucking black belt or something. Go, let me punch you in the stomach. And be like, well, no. Yeah. Like, if you were a fucking white belt with two red stripes on it, I'd say no.
But hang on. What martial arts is it?
Don't know.
Okay, but surely
one of the ones that gives you belts, Dale.
I can fucking punch you really hard. It's not a like a best way to display your martial. Surely you try and punch me, and I'll defend myself with a better way.
Ezra, this is a call out.
Yeah.
Dale wants you to punch him in a more interesting way than you've implied.
I just want to know what his style is.
Dale v Ezra in the Rico Arena.
It's the new Logan Paul versus KSI. Oh, 300 people come down.
Banging.
The Rico. I only just realised you said that.
My home away from home, mate.
All right. What was this? Oh yeah, I was reading an email. I was just hoping you'd join me in congratulating IGN UK superfan and regular Prepared to Try attendee on the birth of his second child, Finn Torrin Elliott. Wait.
Exactly. It doesn't say who it is. I know who it is. It's Chris Elliott, who comes to a lot of our stuff along with Ned and are absolute legends.
I thought you were saying him.
No, the kid. They're the guys who stood up and shouted Pigeon Boys once.
Oh, the Pigeon Boys.
The Pigeon Boys.
Yeah, they've been to a lot of stuff.
Hey,
he actually says Ned is the guy Gav once dragged around the 100 Club saying I look like Pablo Escobar to everyone. And I remember that, and he did.
Muy bien.
But Finn Torrin Elliott was born on Sunday, September 30th, and he is very cool, just like his dad. Question. All right. If you could go back in time to the day of your birth and give your parents a piece of advice about raising you, what would it be? Do you know, even more that what I think about is, if you could go back, right, with everything in your head now to the day of your birth and just live your life again,
yeah,
would you do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think I would, because I think back to some of the stuff, I feel like my parents were quite unfair in a lot of stuff. And as a like, if I'd done something wrong, the punishment was really unfair a couple of times.
Right.
And I generally, I'm still furious about a lot of it.
Do you not think that made you the man you are today, though?
No, because I think they were quite unreasonable people.
Okay.
And I don't think I could live with that again.
I do.
Because at the time, you don't realise they're unreasonable.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, this is all I know.
See, but, I just do everything exactly the same, except I wouldn't keep up the cello as long. it was just a waste of time.
I would make sure I heeded my father's advice in my early 20s to invest in a mortgage at that age. Because I'd be rolling in it right now.
I would just write bits of paper and just be like, don't look at it, just give it to him when he can read.
Yeah.
Or no, give it to him like before he discovers girls. And it will basically be like pictures of the girls and like a tick or a cross by him being like, this will break your heart. This one will break your heart. This one is good. Like, probably Bieber.
yeah.
I didn't, when I think back to the night that she was talking to me, she definitely wanted to go off me and I didn't go do anything with her. I fucked it up. I completely fucked it up. And that is my...
That's a terrible kind of regret.
Yeah. I think about that all the time. She's married with kids now, but... She's done all right. She's done all right for herself.
Better to have loved than lost, mate.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Better to have loved than lost, unless you can go back and put the information that you got into a baby.
Love and keep.
That's the information that you've got.
That's what they say.
Computer. Yeah. A grown bearded man walks into the delivery room and starts poking the baby like it's a keyboard.
Oh my God. Just like get a bit of paper, roll it up and trying to stick it in his ear.
Just chucking an envelope at him.
There we go. That's the IGN. Oh, did we answer that? Not really.
Yes, off.
Yeah.
All my love and thanks for your perpetual excellence. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. What show are you watching, despite having a bit of flaws? If you could go back and give your parents one advice.
What's
the best bread? Yeah. What's the best beans?
Also, what was that guy's name who had the baby?
Chris Elliott. Congratulations. And his baby's called Finn.
Congratulations, Chris.
You're a bloody ledge.
I saw a picture of the baby. It is cute.
Make sure that baby listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
And I mean it.
Now.
Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.